in February.
Wow.
Potentially.
Okay.
All right, ready? How's that, Randy?
Nice.
Good morning, folks. This is Commissioner Brian Kolk. We're meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's Wednesday, February 27th, approximately 10 a.m. on 2013. I don't have any opening comments, but I would defer to my colleagues, Randy and Julie.
I do not have really any opening comments either.
All right, Julie.
I would just say that the legislative session is almost half over. Have they adjourned?
I don't believe so.
When do we expect them to adjourn? Today?
Tomorrow,
yeah, that's Wednesday. So it's been a pretty productive session so far. I think we've had some good things go through at least halfway, and looking forward to completing it strong and having our budget come out as we all hope. That's my only thoughts for the day.
All right, I would concur on that. With that, we have some items on consent. I would move passage.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, on to the regular agenda. Items BK1 and BK2 have been moved to Commissioner Fedorchuk's portfolio. We're still trying to clean up, make sure we have all the right people's names and all the different portfolios. So I will start off with item BK3. I move the Commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 30 days, and assess a filing fee of $45,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU-13-88, Rolette Power Development, LLC, 50-megawatt Rolette Wind Energy Project in Rolette County, North Dakota.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. In this case, Rolette Power Development, LLC, is a North Dakota limited liability company, has filed a letter of intent, and will be submitting an application for a certificate of site compatibility for a wind energy conversion facility. The purpose of this, the project will be located in Rolett County, North Dakota. It'll be owned jointly by Empower, LLC, Border Power, which are both North Dakota limited liability companies. What will be interesting about this is the commission has previously cited a wind farm in this area north of Rolla, not Rolette, but they're very close, and that one is yet to be built, so it'll be interesting to see if there's some synergies that develop in these two projects as they unfold. Currently, the federal production tax credit is set to expire in 2013. In order to qualify for the PTC, Rolette Power needs to have begun construction of the project before the end of 2013. That's right in there in their letter of intent, so it's obvious that this is tied back to the extension of the production tax credit. Some facts about the proposed wind farm: approximately 48,000 acres of land located in Rolette County, south and west of the city of Rolette, is the proposed project area. The initial phase is up to 50 megawatts of wind energy capacity, with an additional phase totaling an additional 100 megawatts may also be constructed depending on future demand. They've yet to determine their point of interconnection. It looks like they have yet to find a buyer of the power. That's not necessarily our jurisdiction, but it does talk about anything that might be developed could be put into the MISO market or potentially WAPA. Their construction schedule is they hope to begin construction by the fourth quarter of 2013, with completion of the project third quarter of 2014. The initial phase of the project is in the range of $75 to $90 million. So I look forward to seeing their application and giving up to that area and holding a hearing.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I do, Mr. Chairman. A question on this process of shortening a one-year waiting period to 30 days. It seems like it's almost become just standard language. And what I'm not sure of, because I haven't been through a wind farm process before, is what kind of responsibilities this puts on our staff people. It's this developer that chose to try and do things so quickly and not make an application until February and expect to have it all processed by the end of the year. That was their decision. But right now, by shortening this to 30 days in the middle of a legislative session, are we cutting the time of our staff to where things become nearly impossible to get done well? Should we, you know, I can understand maybe that there's not a need to hold it off the whole year, but should this maybe be 90 days or something, so there'd be a few weeks or a month after the session has ended, and hopefully things slow down a little bit. Or isn't there that much that we need to do in this process?
No, the Commissioner, great question. The we've talked a lot about that in previous commission about shortening the period. Interestingly enough, correct me if I'm wrong, Alana, one of the things downstairs is that no longer will companies be filing this letter of intent, and then if the bill passes the way it is. So that's one of the things that we talked about, that is it needed? I think it definitely was needed back many years ago when there are some of these major projects. But for now, I think by waiving this down, it just means that then they can then file their application within 30 days, and then we can begin processing it. It doesn't mean we have to be doing something within 30 days. So they'll file an application, and then we'll set up the hearing. They'll still have to do all their studies. And if we deem in scheduling the hearing that we can't make it work, we'll just push the hearing out. So it kind of just puts it on our plate earlier.
One thing on it, does the bill apply to wind farms too? The 38? It does apply to everything. Okay.
So does this mean that we're going to, though, get an application, presumably by the 27th of March? And when we get that, does our staff have time to devote all the attention that they need to, or is it going to kind of sit here for another month until the session ends, and then in however much time it takes to do what needs to be done, is the company saying, well, look, it's taken 3 months to do this, when in fact it was really only 2 months because we never got started till May?
Well, I guess I can't answer that till we see the application and the staff work. But so far, I've noticed that if staff has concerns, they come right to us. They'll file the application. The staff will say we need more time to review it. And if they do, we give them the time they need it. Because just because this is their schedule, I've never felt it's our schedule. It's just their planning document. The only ones that I'm really aware of, if we get a rate case, we've got a seven-month schedule from when the rate case is filed, that the clock kind of ticks. But in these cases, I think we hold the... we hold the ability to plan. We pick the dates until staff deems it complete, until they're happy. We won't even schedule the hearing. And then once the hearing's scheduled, we've got a 30-day delay on it.
Well, see, and this doesn't, this shortening of the 30 days doesn't shorten staff time. It just shortens the time between, they used to have to file a letter of intent and then wait a year to file an application.
Right.
Now they can file an application within 30 days, or maybe they won't. They might not file an application for 6 months, but they can. We've shortened that waiting period. It doesn't affect the amount of time that the staff, the amount of time that the staff can take to do it. It's just that we used to require them to let us know a year in advance of doing something, and now we've shortened that to 30 days.
But that's where in the old days, the commission was then able to bring on more staff to meet the needs. So
that was the theory.
It's a slippery slope because we get these projects, we shorten the waiting period, which I agree with, but I think it's better to get all these projects in front of us and staff and let staff work with the companies and prioritize and then come to us and then as we get a schedule developed. Because right now we know we've got the wind farm up in Jamestown, we know we've got this wind farm, we know we've got a variety of other projects, so trying to coordinate staff time as well as our own time, it's just something, I think it's better to get the cards on the table early. But we could certainly talk about it. We could, if you're not comfortable, we could hold it over. That's not a problem.
Well, I think it would be good to give it a little pause here. And I'd like to visit with staff more, hear more about what kind of burden this is going to put on them and in a very hectic time.
Well, maybe, I don't know, is it appropriate to ask that question now?
So are you saying, Randy, that you think that we should make them wait longer before they apply so that they don't apply during the legislative session and we don't get to it? So you want them to wait till after the session?
If the work that our staff needs to be doing when an application is received is substantial enough that it's a problem to be doing it during April of a legislative session, then I think it would be good, because if it's just sitting on our desks while we're working on the legislative stuff, then they'll be complaining later because of that extra month that they had the application in, and they still haven't heard back from us.
Well, let's do this. Let's hold this item over till admin. We won't vote on it now. We'll go into admin, then we'll talk about it. And at the end of admin, if you're comfortable, then we can vote on it there.
I'd appreciate that.
So let's do that. Okay, with that, we'll hold over item BK3 until admin. And that concludes the items in my portfolio. So we'll go to Commissioner Christman.
Okay. Excuse me. You have a motion and a second on the floor. You have to do something with that. Don't you, Elon?
Pardon?
You have a motion and a second on the floor. Do you have to do something with that?
It's
I'd have to get the
table. I think it's still it's a motion. I think it's we don't necessarily have to table it. It still has to be acted on. It continued to later is no problem as long as the motion is addressed.
We'll have to vote on it before we close the admin portion.
It's,
okay.
It's not.
Thank you, Mr.
Make
sure
we
don't.
To be. We're just delaying the vote.
Okay. You know. Thank you, Esther. Good point. Thanks, Rick. Okay. Commissioner Christman.
I move the commission approve the Beulah Zapp Phase 14, the Scranton-Bowman, the Havelock C, and the Richter Construction Projects as major projects for abandoned mineland reclamation in 2013 and submit the 2013-2016 North Dakota Abandoned Minelands Reclamation Simplified Grant Application to the Office of Surface Mining to request $3,521,731 in federal funds.
Second.
This is our AML project for the year. There's kind of, I mentioned four, but there's really a fifth project that sort of gets fit into this. There's the Beulah Zapp one, which is north of Beulah, looking at grouting some of these old underground mines. The Scranton Bowman one is down in that southwest corner of the state near Reeder and Bowman areas. And that's not quite as large as the Beulah Zapp one, but substantial anyway. Havelock C, I did not even know where Havelock was, but it's between Reeder and New England. And another project, but that is a surface mine that has a large high bank left that would be straightened out so it's not so dangerous. And same with the Richter project, which is just north of east of Glenallen. That also is from a surface mine that left a big bank. And the fifth project that I mentioned is sinkhole filling. I'm figuring $100,000 for that. And that is not a specific spot that is planned or anything. That's just for when sinkholes develop. We've got something to work with, and apparently in most years some sinkholes develop, so we end up doing that. The estimated cost of these projects is $2.5 million. And now to kind of go through where we're at with the money, what we should have, or what we were expecting from the federal government, we're only getting 90% as of now. They're kind of withholding 10% depending on what the federal government does about their budget. But we get the 90%, which will amount to just over $3.5 million. We have about $750,000 in carryover, so that brings us to a little over $4.25 million that we know we have available. Staffing is about $900,000, which leaves $3.37 million. These five projects, when they're bid out, we're expecting to be around $2.5 million. Which will mean, if that's where they came in, we would end up with about $870,000 that we'd carry over into 2014. And then there's also that just under $400,000 that once they reach a resolution on what they're doing with sequestering, we might still get that or we might not. And I think that pretty well explains where we're at with the AML projects.
Okay.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, perfect. I believe that concludes Commissioner Crispin's items. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
All right. I would move that the commission suspend the tariff revisions filed in MDU company's application for an environmental cost recovery rider in its environmental cost recovery tariff cases number PU 13-83 and PU 13-85.
Second.
Okay. This has been an interesting educational experience, learning, digging into this a little bit, and somewhat for my own benefit, for the record's benefit, and for maybe a little bit of help for Randy, too, who hasn't been dealing with this all along. I know, Brian, you have.
I wasn't even here with the initial big stone, so this has been around over 4 years.
Yeah, wow. Well, so MDU and the next item on our agenda is Otter Tail Power Company. They are both requesting authority to recover a return on construction work in progress, which is called CWIP. These are the costs for installing the air quality control system at Big Stone Generating Station in South Dakota. Big Stone is a 475-megawatt coal generation plant. It's been in operation since 1975, and it's co-owned by Otter Tail, MDU, Northwest, and Northwestern Energy. And Otter Tail Power operates the plant. Big Stone originally burned lignite coal in 1995. They converted to Powder River Basin coal to reduce their NOx emissions. And today's item on our agenda is taking the next step in the implementation process of stricter EPA Hays rules and regulations. South Dakota, we've gone through this in North Dakota, too, with our coal-fired plants and Hays and EPA. These are restrictions placed on emitters for air quality and visibility, really, in our national parks. So this project, although it's in eastern South Dakota, is being regulated on its contribution to haze in, for example, the Boundary Waters on national parks, and even as far west as Theodore Roosevelt National Park, and any parks around, you know, in its vicinity. And so it's, and the haze is the visibility factor. It isn't necessarily air quality. It's just what we see in the air. So South Dakota submitted a state implementation plan for haze, and EPA approved that plan last March. This plan requires that Big Stone owners install an air quality control system to further reduce their SO2 and their SOx and their NOx, basically. Last May, the commission approved an advanced determination of prudence for this project. Interestingly, they compared, you know, other comparable costs of converting the plant to gas, replacing it with other fuel sources such as biomass or wind. And this air quality control system was determined to be the least cost alternative, despite the price tag of $490 million. So the PSC approved, said they provided the ADP, and now MDU and Otter Tail are coming to us with a proposal for cost recovery tariffs. That's what they've submitted to us. Chapter 45-0506 allows companies to adjust their rates to recover capital costs and associated operating expenses incurred by public utilities to comply with federal environmental mandates on existing generating facilities. Basically, this allows companies to charge customers for improvements needed to comply with environmental regulations. And this is where the rubber hits the road for consumers. Because I think it's interesting, we often see studies that say that the public supports, you know, cleaner air, and they're willing to pay for it, and here's our chance. Mike and I did some calculations, and using 2011 kilowatts sold per customer class, the haze improvements at Big Stone, which during the ADP were said to be indiscernible by the human eye, so the improvements that this project will make, you cannot detect by sight. This will cost the average residential customer for MDU $473, and it'll cost the average large general service customer, so like a manufacturer, $12,400. That's not in 1 year. That's for that's their share of this project. typically, these costs would be introduced after a project was completed, or in this case, that would be in 2016. MDU is responsible for 22.7% of the costs, or $111 million, and North Dakota MDU customers' share in this is $79 million. The environmental cost recovery riders they're proposing would allow for a gradual increase in the customer bills over time, so rather than coming to us in 2016 and saying, we need to recover all of these costs, they're proposing that we do that on a staggered basis leading up to 2016. And so for this year, MDU is requesting $4.2 million in revenue to recover costs incurred from January 1st, 2013 to March 31st, 2014, and that would amount to an increase of $1.10 per month for the average residential customer. Our motion today will suspend this tariff and give staff time to analyze and determine if it's appropriate. So, did I get anything wrong?
No, that was very good, Commissioner. The just to put
did I get something wrong, Mike?
I think you said 4.2. And I remember 3.2.
Oh, is it? Let me see. I've got that figure right here. Let's see. Yeah, it is. It's 3.2. Right there. Yep. Thank you.
3.2 what?
Million. That's what they're requesting for January 1st, 2013 to March 31st, 2014, recovering $3.2 million in revenue.
The Commissioner, I think you set it up. That was a very good explanation. To add just a little bit more background, that's one of the things that's really unfortunate about Big Stone 2 not going forward, because had Big Stone 2 gone forward, these things would have all been included in the upgrades, and it actually would have been a much less cost to the customer. But so we're still dealing with the decision of those companies to not move forward with Big Stone 2. And then I think Commissioner Fedorchak laid out perfectly what the company is asking for. And by suspending the rates today, that'll allow staff to go through and provide their recommendation. But this thing could turn out a variety of ways. The staff could make a recommendation that we could agree with it. We could hold a full-blown hearing on this. So I really look forward to staff's recommendation, and quite honestly myself, going through and looking through those numbers, because as you pointed out, we did do an 80 advanced determination and prudence on this. If I remember correctly, there was some of the things that were needed were really the whole, you explained the regional haze very well. I think that there's no health benefit, but there was some health benefits down the road, that things that they had to comply with some things. So I think there's a lot of room in some of those numbers as we get into this. So. That's all I would add.
I have a question. The $473 mm-hmm. per customer.
Yep.
So
I would urge my colleagues that today is not the time to try the case. Today, really all we're doing is suspending it. And the questions that you have now would be best suited to get to the staff, because today's motion is just to suspend the rate. I think Commissioner Fedorchak really laid out what the company's asking for. So I just throw that out there. But
good point, because that's where I was going, is getting ahead of this.
Well, but it's a fine line. I mean, you're do as you want, quite honestly, as I do. But I think sometimes it's helpful, if you've got concerns, to get them out now so the company hears them. But then just don't try the case today is what I've always thought. So if you have,
Well, my thought was when a company that has customers in various states, and so they have to spread these costs around. Do the states have, if that were the average that it's going to be, do the states have different rules? And so one state, you know, maybe says, well, you can only go up to 200, so then it shifts some of the costs to the other state, and some customers end up absorbing more because one state didn't allow them to.
Isn't it all broken down by the percentage of customers per state? So we have a share. Our share is $79 million for MDU, I believe, for this project. That's what North Dakota customers will have to pay.
By being tough, state regulatory agencies can't shift the costs over to their neighbor states.
Well, this is a good discussion for a work session, but the previous commission and now this commission has, I think, talked a lot about if a state has mandates for a certain type of energy, and other states don't, you could potentially not have any cost that we'd grant to our customers And then so the company would have to decide what they're going to do. Do they eat it themselves or do they try to shift it somewhere else?
Right.
But the jurisdictional issues between states are big.
Hopefully this gives staff the kind of information they know that well, I'm wondering for the case in the long run, not to be answered now, I guess.
No, but I would also throw out that I've talked to staff on this rate case. And I'm going to be putting a letter together from Commissioner Culk to advocacy staff. These are my concerns about the rate case. So staff has those right up front. So if either one of you ever want to do that for a rate case or this particular case, so if you've got concerns going into this, you could do the same thing, give a memo and give it to Alana, which will then pass it over to Mike, which will then get to the company, with your specific concerns. So when it comes down to it, they've answered our questions. Because that has been some of my frustrations, that we'll get into the hearing and they never bring up the questions that I want to talk about. So now I'm going to try to preempt that by giving them my questions early. So those have to be answered in the hearing.
Interesting. Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Hey, Julie, Randy's asking a lot of questions today.
It's good. I like it. I've learned a lot from you, Randy. All right, the next motion is I move the commission suspend Otter Tail Power Company's environmental cost recovery tariff and its environmental cost recovery rider application. Case numbers PU 13-79 and PU 13-84.
Second.
All the same background information applies that I just provided for MDU applies to the same on Otter Tail Power. However, for Otter Tail Power, they're responsible for 53.9% of the total costs, or $264 million for the whole project. North Dakota customer share of this is about 40%, or $106 million. They're proposing the same stepped approach for cost recovery. They're seeking to recover $4.9 million in costs from January 1st, 2013 to March 31st, 2014, which amounts to $2.80 per month for the average Otter Tail Power residential customer. And again, our motion today suspends this tariff, giving staff time to analyze and determine if it's appropriate.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. I believe that concludes our regular scheduled agenda items. I would just go through a couple announcements. We have directors meeting Friday at 9. Our legal tracking meeting, or not legal, LEDSED tracking meeting at 10:30 on Friday. Monday, March 4th at 2:30, we have a periodic information exchange meeting with Otter Tail. We just found out yesterday that we have our budget hearing next Wednesday, March 6th at 2 p.m. Next Thursday, March 7th, MISO is coming in. Jerry, they're still coming in for their update, aren't they? And so that, I guess, concludes my remarks. Commissioner Christman or Julie Fedorchuk?
The only remarks that I have is I think Julie did a nice job explaining those.
Very complex
that,
issue.
Situation with Big Stone. And I learned quite a bit here this morning.
Kudos to Mike, my teacher.
All right, Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I have no comments.
Okay, we'll close the regular scheduled meeting.